angry, irritable, quick to react. We've all encountered this type of man at some point in our lives. All it takes is one disagreement, disappointment, or even an accidental bump in a bar and sets them off into a storm of rage. Their anger gets in the way of their ability to make good bosses, workers, husbands, and fathers. The new book, Beyond Anger, A Guide for Men, How to Free Yourself from the Grip of Anger and Get More Out of Life, is written by a psychologist who specializes in the treatment of male rage and shows the angry and miserable man how to change his life and relationships for the better. Dr. Thomas Harbin is a clinical psychologist in private practice specializing in the treatment of male anger, and we welcome him to the roundtable this morning. Dr. Harbin, thank you very much for being with us.
You're welcome.
What brought you to look at specifically male anger?
Well, there were a couple of paths that resulted in that. First of all, my own history as an angry man, which I had to deal with. But then when I was a psychological intern, I'm fairly large. I'm 6'6" and used to play a lot of sports. Whenever there was somebody busting up an emergency room or something like that, they sent for the big guy. So I ended up getting sent down there. And then I thought that my own personal history with anger would be a way for me to make a better connection with some of my angry male patients. So I think those are the factors that resulted in my specialty in anger.
Are there specific reasons? I mean, you talk about this in the book, but are there specific reasons of why men specifically are perhaps more angry than others?
Well, I think that men and women each have their own reasons for being angry. Men tend to express their anger in more physical ways, in more volatile ways, although I think probably 80% of men's and women's anger, you know, are pretty similar. But men tend to have their own reasons for being angry and tend to have their own ways of expressing it.
So when it comes to those ways of expressing it, it does, I assume, the first thing you have to figure out is why you're angry in the first place.
That helps, but I think actually the first thing that has to be done is put an end to any kind of destruction of property or physical aggression against people. And then, you know, in the long run, you start digging in and trying to figure out, you know, what are some of the reasons that the problem started. What are some of the factors that are continuing the problem, and focus any kind of treatment or any kind of behavior change on those two sets of issues.
So what is it about anger that, I mean, you talk just even the subtitle of the book, but the grip of anger, of how it takes hold of us and doesn't let us go?
That is an excellent question. I think there are cultural factors for that. I think there are behavioral factors for that. I think there are physiological factors for that. The cultural factors, I think, in the United States and probably many other cultures, we have a long history of not only tolerating, but in some cases encouraging angry and aggressive behavior in men. I mean, if you think about some of the tough guys in the movies, They are always rewarded in the end for taking out their aggressions on other people. Psychologically, a lot of men feel like they are under attack and feel as though they have to be constantly on guard, constantly defending themselves from other people. Physiologically, anger produces a lot of physical changes in the body that can get to be habitual. I mean, there are, you know, changes in hormone levels or changes in cardiovascular stuff that can in themselves be reinforcing for that type of response to many situations.
It seems that in reading the book and just in observing over life, that men also aren't real good at talking about their emotions, right? We're not really hardwired that way.
I agree with you, and I think that's part of the problem. For example, if you talk to someone in the Arctic Circle about snow, they're going to have a lot of words for different types of snow. They're going to have a word for fluffy snow, for sleet. They're going to have all these different words for all these types of snow compared to someone that lives down in a southern region where there isn't so much of an emphasis on snow. And that does two things. First of all, it allows that person to have a much more intimate knowledge of snow because they've got the vocabulary for it, and it allows them to express their relationship to snow in a more detailed way. And I think the same thing is true of men and their emotions. Men tend to lack an emotional vocabulary. They tend to lump all the negative emotions into "I felt bad," and they tend to lump all the positive emotions into "I felt good." And with that limited vocabulary, it makes them not only oblivious to many of their emotions, but to have difficulty expressing them and dealing with them.
And when it comes to expressing them and dealing with them, I mean, you can be a person who gets irked, who gets ticked off. That's different, obviously, than becoming physically aggressive or violent. So what's the switch?
I agree with you that those are different things. And what I tell people quite often, what I tell the guys in here quite often, is that anger is not bad. Anger is not good either. It just is. And it is for its own reasons. What we are worried about is how often does a man get angry? What does it take to get him angry? How long does he stay angry once he gets angry? And what does he do while he's angry? And it's those kinds of things that I tend to focus on with guys, rather than telling them that, you know, that you should never get angry, because obviously that's a human emotion just like any other emotion, and sometimes it's appropriate.
So I grew up hearing my father say, "Oh, that guy just has a short fuse." Is that basically what it is?
I think what that is the people around him trying to deal with or justify somebody that probably gets out of control with his anger.
So when it comes to, and you write about this, and I think it's really important, of how a person, how a couple, but even especially a father, of how you can stop an angry son from becoming an angry man. And this is something that you explore in some detail in the book.
First of all, we are, all of us, I'm referring to men now. I mean, it would apply to women, but we're talking about men. We are role models, whether or not we want to be. And we have a responsibility to boys and young men to demonstrate appropriate ways of dealing with life's problems. And so the first thing that I would say is you have to set a good example. If a boy sees his father getting out of control over trivial matters, chances are he's going to learn to do the same thing. The way we treat boys can also be a big factor in how they deal with their anger later on in life. Physical abuse, humiliation, those are prominent in a boy's life. Those two things lead to anger. So I think it's a multifaceted issue, but some of the obvious things are, you know, like I said, role models and physical or humiliating punishment.
So let me ask the question a different way, which is, if a male is angry, let's say I'm an angry guy, and I'm an angry, physically aggressive guy, is that my father's fault?
No. Well, let me back up on that. I don't necessarily worry about fault. We can point to causes, we can point to precursors, but ultimately, the angry man is responsible for his own behavior. And pointing to, well, the way I put it frequently is explaining why something is true or something happens is not the same thing as excusing it. So while we may look at the fact that this angry guy had an angry dad and we understand where his anger came from, he is still responsible for his behavior.
So, and another question is, so I grew up with a father who I think I saw really mad maybe twice. Is that healthy?
The fact that you saw him angry only twice, I guarantee you he got angry more than that.
Well,
but he
I know
was probably,
that.
He was probably pretty good at you know, not taking it out on you or not demonstrating inappropriate ways of dealing with his anger. So So it sounds like you had a pretty good dad.
Well, I did have a good dad, but I just, I mean, meaning that, that blowing off steam is, I mean, that's healthy too, right?
That is actually sort of a, that's a myth. In my experience, the more men rant and rave, the more angry they get, not the less.
Okay.
Now, being vocal about some of the precursors to anger, like, you know, talking about the things that frustrate or talk about the disappointments or whatever, I think that stuff is adaptive in the long run. But the old getting it off your chest or blowing off steam, I in my experience, that tends to be more counterproductive.
And, Doctor, how do you feel about outside influences? So when it comes to violent movies, violent video games, the outside influences that more young men have to deal with than women, what impact does that have?
I can only, in answer to that, I can point to the research, which I have to be honest with you is mixed. There is some research that shows that exposure to violent TV, violent movies, violent video games desensitizes people to violence. And in fact, the military has been, for a couple decades now, using more and more violent video games and violent video presentations to make it more likely that their soldiers can aggress when they want them to. But I think that the jury is still out on whether or not, for example, watching a violent movie or having the habit of watching violent movies is going to make somebody more violent. I just think, just from my own gut reaction, that being exposed to constant violence in video games or movies or TV cannot be good. But I don't have the data to back that up.
So on that note, and I'm sure this will be difficult too, but and without leading the witness, do you feel, it seems like there's really no coincidence to the fact that when we see a violent act taken out of a school shooting or an act of violence in a mall or a movie theater, that it is 99.9% of the chance a man who is violent?
Historically, men have always been much more violent than women, and I think that continues in the present.
And are we doing enough, scientifically, are we doing enough in figuring that out?
Why men are more violent than women?
Yes. Well, and ultimately on how to stop it to get to that point. I mean, there's a difference of,
right.
You know, obviously there are grades here.
I am always in favor of practically relevant research. So I think that a lot of work in this area has been done. I think specifically of Dr. Ray Novacco, who's been doing research on male anger for a long time, is one of the country's leading experts. But, you know, of course, a lot more needs to be done. I mean, the violence in our culture does not seem to be going down. It seems to be going up.
Dr. Thomas Harbin is a clinical psychologist in private practice specializing in the treatment of male anger. His book, Beyond Anger, A Guide for Men, it is published by DeCapo Press's Lifelong Books. Dr. Harbin, thank you very much for being with us. A great pleasure to have you on the program.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Again, the name of the book is Beyond Anger, A Guide for Men. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.